like a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:46 p.m. Central Daylight Standard Time. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeofmagnolia.com. I'm Senna Crow, at Senna Crow on Venmo, at Senna Crow 2 on Twitter. To one side of me, the rumor monger, grill master, the maestro of Excel, Ryan Sterrett.
Excel. Couldn't put it better myself.
Yeah, sorry. Flying off the cuff. To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, a man of taste, a man of leisure, a man who's wearing a Hawaiian shirt that matches his fish tank at AU Chief.
Ahoy.
So, okay, last week we learned you had a pond.
Yeah.
And the week before that, we learned you were into tropical fish.
Oh, yeah.
Give us another tropical chief. This is Hawaii 5-0 chief talk.
Well, I mean, I've been wearing a lot of Hawaiian shirts lately, but that's well known.
It's more of a weather thing.
This is the new lifestyle.
Yeah.
When he found out he was going to be a dad a second time, he just kind of grew into it.
Yeah.
It's a super dad
look. Who cares anymore?
Yeah, who cares anymore?
I really want that Auburn Hawaiian.
Yeah, man. There's a Tai Bahama one that I had my eye on.
Pricey.
Yeah, they are very pricey.
Like $100.
Very
pricey. Get that Poshmark.
I also want that shirt that Lando wears at the end of Solo.
Okay, yeah.
Also extremely pricey. Yeah.
I tell you what you should watch is my favorite television show these days is Cheers.
Oh, it's a
classic
show.
TV show. Mm-hmm. Season one of Cheers, Sam Malone, played by Ted Danson.
Yeah, the great Ted Danson.
He wears a series of rugby shirts. They're different brands. Some of them are Nike with the Nike logo on the chest. But they're rugby shirts that they have a sweatshirt pocket,
yeah,
a kangaroo
man.
Pocket in the front. Yeah. And every time I see one, I like nudge my wife and I go, that's a great looking shirt. And like we've looked them up online. You can't find them. So if you're listening to this and you're an Orange and Truther who knows how to Google better than I do or get your Bing going, go look it up on Bing and let me know how to find one of these shirts, or make me one. And, let me know how to do it. So, Chief, we learned about the Hawaiian shirts.
New facts. I don't know if Hawaiian shirts are new facts. I don't have anything this week, I don't think, that you don't know.
Oh, we'll try to uncover it. I'll do my best Indiana Jones. Lindiana James. Impersonation. So this week,
we talked about how I've been watching an anime. I think this was after.
Yeah, you're getting into anime.
Watching Neon Genesis Evangelion. Anyway, okay. It's on Netflix now. I had some friends convince me to watch it. I'm not a big anime guy or anything.
Is it Evangelion or Evangelion? Like the Greek word.
Evangelion.
Okay.
Apparently, who knows? It's weird, like any anime is. So. Supposedly it gets really weird, but I've not gotten to that point yet. It's cool. It's nice. It sounds weird. It's great filmmaking. There's great sound design in it.
The actors are good?
I guess. There's new voice actors for this because it's a new...
Jokos are animated.
Yeah, yeah. It's a new dub.
A new production?
English dub of it. Check it out if you want to dip your toe into anime, I guess.
So you like dubs both. The kind 311 does.
Oh, yeah.
Roots dubs.
Yeah, yeah.
And also,
is he a fan of the dubs?
I don't know. What is that bug in
there? Is
house?
A roach.
Kill that bug.
Beat him.
All right, y'all vamp.
Kill that bug. Ryan's gonna kill a bug.
Ryan's gonna kill. Oh, it disappeared.
All right. We got. Luckily, I'm moving.
Bug on the loose. Yeah, bought a house.
Yeah, just
that's new.
House.
What's new about you, Crow?
Yeah, bought a house. Bought a house. So that's the most dad thing I've done recently.
I have a new front-loading washing machine.
Oh man,
mine went out on me, and I was going to buy a used one, which I was in doing a transaction while we were at the biscuits game
on front door on next door.
Let go,
mm.
And then I got a little sketched out about it because right. I looked because they were like, "Oh, we moved," and it said it was in Auburn, but then they're like, "No, it's on Atlanta Highway in Montgomery," and I was like, And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna have to rent a truck," and then I looked. And they're selling like four other washing machines. I was like, no.
They robbed a truck.
Maybe. They were all used. It was too good of a deal, too. So I just went and opened up a Lowe's card and got some money off.
Max it out.
Well, it, you know, it's fine. No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I did not max it out. They gave me quite more credit than I deserve. But we're just going to pay off most of it. I've got 12 months to pay the rest of it off. So, but it's nice. It's LG. It's the top rated by Consumer Reports.
Now we're talking.
Got it for about $300 under MSRP.
Is LG Danish? I don't know.
Korean.
It's close.
Yeah.
It's another country. It's close enough.
Something weird.
They speak a language. Well, no.
So we bought a house. We're in the midst of just doing a demo and gutting that house. And so
Chip and Joanna Gaines over here.
Well, I know. I'm trying to get my best contractor voice in. So every so often I'll walk around and go, well, I'm up to my eyes in alligators. This punch sheet's a mile long. She wants quarter inch, quarter rounds, and I can't get them.
You need a cigarette hanging out of your mouth. Lit.
If the lady make up her mind, I might be able to get some drywall hung this week.
The gangs are from Waco, aren't they?
They are there. They're from Waco. Okay. Well, yeah.
Which, you know, I've only watched that show at doctor's offices.
Yeah, they need to make a documentary that just follows Texas contractors around. I'd watch that show, especially if it was on HBO, because it'd be unedited.
Oh,
I would just love to listen to those dudes just say
just
that.
Just put a GoPro on top of
it. It would have the same rating as Real Sex on HBO.
Got 10 guys in there, plug 3 microwaves in to make lunch. It's unbelievable how hot it is outside. That's what it would sound like. There's always a microwave plugged in at every job site. That's what you got to know about job sites. There's the first thing that happens. Power gets put to the job site. The second thing that happens is 3 subcontractors plug microwaves into it.
I've been
Neither of those happen if you're building my house. You just get a dirt lot for 4 months.
Yeah, that's not cool. At least you have not, well, you have paid some money. At least you have not paid all the money.
But they got plumbing now. It's finally underway.
Oh, they're going to pour that slab soon, huh? Okay.
Sure hope so.
Hope the weather holds. But we're all homeowners here.
Don't put that on me.
Anywho, this week is the What If Week on SBNation.com. If you're at SBNation.com, you will see a million different what ifs.
I think that was last week, technically.
Sure. We're a week behind.
Who cares?
It's Alabama. It takes a week to get here anyway.
Look, so the 80s lasted well into the 90s here in this state. Yeah. So
we are we're joining in on the fun and asking our favorite Auburn-related what-ifs. Now, there's a couple that are obvious. What if Chris Davis stepped out of bounds on the kick six?
Didn't you see the picture?
I did not. I did see the picture. I know how, you know, perspective works.
Yeah.
What if Auburn wins the 2013 National Championship? Right. Kelvin Benjamin drops a pass, or
Chris Davis didn't get called for
college. Kelvin Benjamin acts a lot more like NFL Kelvin Benjamin.
Jonathan Jones didn't get hurt on the kickoff.
Right. Yeah,
there's a lot of could have happened. Point that everybody saw coming.
Trey doesn't score immediately on that play.
There's a lot of what ifs in that.
Yeah, like what if Oklahoma or Tennessee loses?
What if we don't take our
Auburn to go to the national championship?
What if we don't take our foot off the gas there? Oh, well,
there you go.
Yeah, that's a good what if.
It is a good what if. So what we're gonna do is all three of us have 2 what ifs that are less obvious versions of that, and we're gonna start with Chief. Chief is gonna ask his. Oh. First, big Auburn what if, and then he's going to explain what he thinks would happen had that not happened, and then Ryan and I are going to vamp a little bit.
Well, I guess we'll just start off with maybe one of the more obvious ones is, what if we don't sign Cameron Jarrell Newton?
That is an obvious one.
I think if you ask this question, I guess you got to say, well, where does he go? He probably goes to Mississippi State. Who, if you know any fans of state, like my friend Ryan Starrett over here, they believe that they would have won the national championship that year if Cam had gone there.
It's true, because as we know, when they have an NFL caliber quarterback, they usually, wait a minute, they had Dak Prescott. They did.
The crazy thing is, if Mississippi State doesn't also go undefeated and win the SEC, Boise State's a national title game.
Yeah, probably, you're right.
That's a big one.
I think Auburn was a perfect storm in 2010.
Wait, no, because that 2010 Alabama team was
really they were 9-3. They lost to Stephen Garcia.
They lost to South Carolina. It was devastating.
They lost to Stephen Garcia.
Now, they still had hopes.
Yeah, they had hopes.
Of going to the national championship game if they beat us.
They would have been in 10-2.
No, but Boise State was number 3 undefeated.
Yeah, but they're Boise State.
They were still Boise State.
It's BC. We don't have human voters saying that a Mountain West team can't get in.
But I don't know if they would have been at the end of the year, like in that, like the computer still may have.
You're saying
because Alabama.
I don't think Alabama was jumping.
Alabama would have played in an SEC title game and
probably beaten South Carolina the second time they played them.
But anyway, who cares?
we're not here to talk about Alabama. Come on.
But yeah, so we don't sign him. So then, who's our quarterback? And Grant, we will.
Barrett Trotter.
Barrett Trotter. Neil Cottle. What are y'all?
I Barrett Trotter probably, and Barrett Trotter ain't taking us to the national title. All due respect to
I like Barrett Trotter.
Briarwood's finest, didn't he go to
Briarwood?
No, did he?
I don't know where she is.
Spain Park? I don't know.
He's a Birmingham guy.
Yeah. All due respect to Barrett Trotter. We're not playing Oregon.
We're in the championship.
And so if we don't win that,
Oregon probably wins the national championship that year, I think.
Yeah, Oregon wins a national championship that year. And we don't have a national championship to our record.
Does 2010 just become 2011 at that point?
I think so.
It's
and
like
then,
a 7-5, 8-4 kind of year.
And then I think the wheels start to fall off the field sooner.
Yeah.
And maybe 2011 becomes 2012. And then Gus is still here. And
because he would never have gotten hired away.
Right. And so then maybe
I think he might still get the Arkansas State job at that point.
He might. He might, but he's leaving here anyway. Right. So then we get a new coach in 2012.
Which is not Gus Malzahn. He does not become the Auburn head coach.
And right. I don't know that Gus becomes the Auburn head coach, and even if Chizik manages to hang on into 2012, I don't think Gus becomes the head coach. Because if you think about it, if they all leave in 2011 – then maybe he takes that Vandy job.
Yeah, there were a couple of very interesting names.
When I don't think he should have taken that Vandy. I think he was smart not to take it.
Maybe it was when we hired Chizik, but these same names have been around.
Bobby Petrino.
Petrino, obviously. Paul Johnson was on the table.
Yeah.
He was really.
There were some awful names.
What a disaster.
Can you imagine triple option Auburn?
Oh,
and
my God.
How much we the dang ball people would have been really happy, and we would have been awful.
We would have been really bad.
But the point being, I don't think Auburn. We're not in playing for a national championship 2013 if we don't win that game
because the recruiting is not there.
Right,
we're
wandering in a wilderness searching for our identity again. Is what happens, I believe.
And I think maybe at this point you might see Auburn have figured something out. You know, 5 years removed from that.
Right,
but there's just no way to know.
Now you can argue.
Probably just now getting a P5 job.
Right. You can argue all you want now about Auburn being mediocre or whatever, but Auburn has had an identity for 10 years now.
Yeah,
well, that comes from
the run the dang ball.
So
whether we were actually running the Gus Malzahn hurry up, no huddle or not, that's what Auburn's known as on offense at this point.
Yeah.
Right. So
my daughter's just screaming. She hates this take.
Poor gal. But I think it's the signing of Cam Newton was a pivotal moment for Auburn, I think.
And for Gus Malzahn, it sounds
And for
like.
Gus, I think. And just for all of us, I don't think we've – without winning that national championship, there's not nearly as many people upset that we're not playing for one every year.
Gosh, that's the truth.
A
lot of people think that 2010 was the worst thing that ever happened to Auburn fans.
Could be. I thought at the time in 04 that was – I was like, great, now we're going to have a bunch of bandwagoners around.
Yeah.
And to an extent, I think it did result in some, but not like 2010 did and 2013.
To an extent, 2004, everybody kind of felt bad that they were so harsh on Tubbs the year prior.
Yeah.
But everybody got over that real quick about 2007.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Brian, it's a good what if, yeah. Chief.
So this is almost a related what if, but in the opposite direction. A couple months prior to signing Cam Newton.
So similar, but opposite.
Right. A couple of months prior to signing Cam Newton, Auburn was leading Alabama in the fourth quarter.
Of the 09 Iron Bowl.
Right.
I was watching that game over Thanksgiving break with my whole family.
What Chris F. Todd at quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. Record breaker Chris Todd.
Chris
Terrell Zachary.
Chris F. Todd.
Yeah. So what if Auburn doesn't give up that last touchdown, which Bama fans dubbed the drive?
Oh, you mean gets called for one of the, I don't know, seven pick plays they ran on that drive?
Who's the quarterback on this Bama team?
A.J. McCarron.
Before him.
John Parker Wilson. McElroy.
That's right.
McElroy. Oh, McElroy.
It was Greg McElroy's year.
Great. John Parker Wilson's way before that.
I mean,
they're all the same guy.
Yeah, they really are.
So what if Auburn beats Alabama? The undefeated Alabama.
And they don't play for national championship.
Well, so here's the thing. They still play a top five Florida.
That's true.
They win the East going away.
That's true. Sorry,
win the West going away.
Tebow cried, baby. Tebow cried. Right.
That's it. So, just looking at the bowl rankings, or the rankings going into the
we're
bowl.
We're still rather, in the BCS.
There. Cincinnati is number three at undefeated.
Oh.
At 12-0.
Coached by Brian Kelly at the time?
Brian Kelly, who we know goes into the postseason undefeated.
Yeah.
And does not go out undefeated.
Right.
But is Cincinnati playing Texas in the national championship that year?
Maybe.
Number four is TCU in the Mountain West. Do we get a G5, or I guess the Big East at this point is not G5.
Alabama probably still plays for that national championship, I bet.
Do they still beat Florida if they lost to Auburn week four?
Yeah.
Are we in the SEC championship?
No, we're three games out.
Yeah.
They probably still go.
Alabama had a three-game lead in the West.
Yeah,
They're still going to the SEC championship.
They probably still go. It's just that they never – wait. Hold on. If they don't
– what you got?
Trying to think.
Wheeler turning.
Well, you know, they've played for several national championships without winning the SEC. I was trying to think. Is that the only one that they won the SEC and they played for – and they won a national championship?
No. 2015.
Okay. All right.
In 2011.
Never mind.
Or – 12 or 11, either way.
The real question is, what if they don't play for title in Auburn?
Right. So that's kind of what I'm getting at, is if Auburn
wins the 10
beats,
title.
Beats Alabama in 2009, still has 2010, Cam's already committed.
Yeah, somehow Alabama doesn't make the national championship.
Right. So does their dynasty ever really get off the ground?
Yes, absolutely.
Even if...
Yeah, they have too much recruiting and too good of a coach. Fran Hayes says
that's a what if.
Maybe
Auburn is the premier program in the state after 2010.
I think we were the premier program in the state after 2010 anyway.
Yeah,
but it's debatable at that point. If true, Saban is 1-3 against Auburn, Auburn has national title.
I don't think
Heisman winner.
I don't think not winning 09. They hit their recruiting trail. Their bagmen hit the trail a lot harder than they do already. So
that is casually libelous. Geez.
Oh, I mean.
Chief probably knows them. Actually, I'm almost positive Chief does know an Alabama. Who may or may not be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, may or may not be a head coach for a team wearing orange.
Sam Houston State's got some big coaches.
Syracuse.
I just think they hit the trail harder. I don't think it affects things that much. They just have one less national championship. I don't think there's
guys.
I don't think there's guys that ended up at Alabama after 10 or after 9 that weren't already going to end up there.
My question though is Saban on the hot seat?
No.
Hey, after year 4,
no.
He's 1-3 against Auburn.
No. See, this is it goes into that my is, what if.
He's right. Not on the hot seat.
And I'll transfer now, right on in because mine's a very similar what if.
Actually, he might be.
Right?
He's on the hot seat.
He's on the hot seat.
With idiots. Because he was on the hot seat in the room.
Who are we talking about, Chief? This is Alabama. There's a lot of those.
I know. I was. He was on
he
the
hot seat. He lost to Utah in the Sugar Bowl in 08. If the following year he loses to Auburn, with their new coach,
yeah,
3-9.
We have to assume he also loses to Florida, basically.
Right. Well, no, you just have to assume he doesn't get in a championship game.
I think if he wins, he beats Florida, he's in.
There's two undefeated teams, though.
He'd be a one-loss SEC team, but... And then it'd be
and technically, true. That's technically true. Big East Cincinnati is still a power conference.
It did used to favor undefeated over.
Right.
I will say after the 2010 Iron Bowl, I was sitting in a in the zone, which is their big – they have a large suite in one end zone.
Okay.
And there were people mad. I mean, mad in real life about Nick Saban and saying, I just don't think he's the guy.
I still think he's the guy for this program.
So, if he's 1-3.
All 1-3, no national titles. No Heisman winner because Mark Ingram's not winning the Heisman if they don't go to the national championship.
Won the Heisman anyway.
Right.
Yeah, maybe he's on the hot seat.
You're talking about a whole different world.
Now, before the pod, full disclosure, I did mention another what if that is somewhat related to this. Nick Saban did not want to be at Alabama.
Right.
Well into his tenure.
Me and him both.
If Les Miles takes the job at Michigan, I have it on fairly good authority. He was going back to LSU. The only reason Les Miles isn't at Michigan is because they wouldn't let him coach the bowl game.
Right.
If they let him coach that bowl game, Nick Saban is at LSU, and LSU's probably won a couple more national titles.
And Tom Hicks was on Dallas radio this past week saying, in 07, if Mack Brown had just said, yeah, that's a good idea, Nick Saban's the head football coach of Texas in 2007, and then Mack Brown is some sort of recruiting liaison.
Right.
And now Texas is sitting there with more money than anybody knows what to do with.
Right.
And Nick Saban is their head coach. In a conference they could win with their eyes closed.
This is ridiculous.
The whole college football world has changed. That's the case.
Let's just say Miss Terry loves Baton Rouge.
Your options are Baton Rouge. They had a lot of friends in Texas or Tuscaloosa.
The authority I have it on is friends of theirs,
right?
I met through my former employee, and they hated it their first year or two in Tuscaloosa. You know, winning cures a lot of ills. Yeah, though. It is not cure
not for losing to Louisiana.
Poor Fran's ills right now, though.
Daughter of Crow is just having a night.
Real upset. I'm sorry, Fran.
So my what if, I had two what ifs. I think I forgot both of them, but I have a couple more that I'm going to try to keep going. Is that my favorite game of what if is the 2014 Iron Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how amazing Auburn played on offense. So it's kind of like the 09 Iron Bowl. What if Auburn wins that game?
Yeah, yeah.
Man after my own heart with Nick Marshall right there.
I mean, the 14 Iron Bowl.
Best Auburn quarterback never to win a was Heisman.
The closest thing. Nick Marshall super fan, Ryan Stewart.
Was the closest thing Auburn ever has played to just a complete NFL blitz
game. It was wild. I was there. Auburn fans in the upper deck could not believe what we were seeing. It was
Duke Williams was a god amongst men there.
Yeah.
Buddy, it was fun to watch.
So what if Auburn decides to double cover Amari Cooper, I don't know, a couple times. And maybe twice.
Maybe just cover him once.
200 and such yards receiving, and Auburn wins that game. So Auburn, let's just put this into perspective.
What if Gus had fired Ellis Johnson after the previous season?
Auburn beats Alabama in 2000. Okay.
We were already past the
Jordan. Auburn would have beaten the Tide in 2010, won a national championship in 2013, and beaten Alabama in 2014, which Auburn already had a loss.
That's a lot of combined what ifs there.
No. This has all already happened. The only change is the 2014 Iron Bowl.
Well, 13, you said we won a national championship.
13, Auburn goes to the championship in 13, wins one in 10, beats Alabama in 14, and Auburn had already lost to A&M in 14, and Mississippi State.
There's a what if right there.
The thing people forget, we should have lost to South Carolina.
Right. So you're not going to the SEC championship game.
Best coach game in like 20 years.
We should have lost South Carolina.
So you're not talking about an Auburn team that beats Alabama and then goes to the national championship.
Right.
But you're talking about an Auburn team that beats Alabama in back-to-back years.
Right. Suddenly.
With offense.
Right.
And so you're talking about, in my belief, Saban is at that moment 0-2 against Gus Malzahn. And Gus has run him ragged offensively. To the tune of
after
we rush for like 230 yards,
and you have to remember it. 14, he brings in Lane Kiffin and completely changes his offense in response
to Gus.
To Gus.
So if Gus beats the team anyway,
Gus and Clemson, I would say
you're looking at, in my opinion, a complete and total change of the way the SEC does football from that moment. That would have been the touchstone moment of
Alabama does still win the West in 2014 with a loss there.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're tied with Mississippi State
and
they have the tiebreaker because Dan Mullen never beat Mississippi State.
You mean Dan Mullen never beat Alabama?
Sorry. Well, he beat Mississippi State a lot. Never beat Alabama.
You mean the best coach in Mississippi State football history?
Yeah. The guy who I think can be dangerous at Florida.
Florida's gonna be real good next year.
But I don't. I don't think he is.
They're not a national title
contender. I don't think he's an elite caliber coach. I think that's my take on it.
Yeah. We are, anyway.
He's a poor man's Gus Malzahn.
Back to my what if, you guys.
Sure.
I think Nick Saban retires. If Auburn wins the fourth
round. No, he can't.
But they still have a shot.
Is this what we want football to be? That's what he'd be saying over and over again.
Who goes to the national title?
Didn't Texas fire another coach in 14?
Charlie Strong.
So he could have gone there.
Yeah. But, like,
I don't think he's the type of guy that's definitely, and probably knows it, definitely going to die the second he retires.
Gus is extended probably 10 years if he beats out there 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And if he beats him the way that he, if we win that many points.
But then are we stuck with Ellis Johnson for another year? And then 15 is completely horrible. Oh, wait, 15 was pretty bad. 15
was pretty bad. All right, now going back around, I will start with my second what if.
Okay.
And then we'll go to run, and then we'll finish on cheese.
I don't remember what my second one was.
Oh, I got two more people to think of it.
I think it's Jet Gate.
Yeah, your second one's Jet
Gate. Way to just spoil it there.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll talk Jet Gate.
Oh, maybe we should take a break.
Take a break.
We have to do that now.
Got to pay them bills.
And we're back.
Pay them telephone bills. We are...
I hope you just heard a commercial for Monster Jam at your local arena.
You probably did. You probably heard a podcast commercial for a podcast better than this one.
There probably is a podcast on our podcast network dedicated to Monster Truck.
If there's not, we need to start the sub-podcast. Yeah.
Well, when you get the podcast studio.
Yeah, when I get the studio built out in the backyard of the new place.
We're really going to... I mean, if you want some help, we can...
I do want some help.
We can build the studio.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Like, we'll have, like, a table with any actual leftover, mics and stuff.
Any leftover flooring that we don't use in the house, going into the studio.
We'll just, like, some carpet and slap it up on the walls.
I'm probably going to get those...
It's a foam.
Sam's that sells those foam...
How big is it? How big? What's square footage?
It looks like a murder shed. I bet it's a 5x5. 5x5. I bet it is.
It's going to be a little cozy.
We could fit a small round table in there, maybe?
There's currently a really rad wooden table in there.
Okay, and maybe, three mics and... Okay.
We can make it happen.
Okay.
It could be a nice little clubhouse, as my wife calls it.
Coming soon.
We got to get a portable air conditioning unit strapped in there. Because it's going to be
fairly
hot.
Those are fairly cheap, man, though.
Yeah. And power...
Winter, I think, might be a little...
No, here's the deal for winter. If I really am doing this right, I want a wood-burning stove put in there.
So you know what you do? You slap up some...
Fran hates this idea.
Poor Fran, sorry.
She's still lying down. My daughter screams lying down.
Well, it's a baby thing.
When she stands up, then I know she's ready to go.
You put up insulating foam behind the soundproofing stuff.
Right.
And the insulating foam's not... It's like 15 bucks a sheet or something like that. So, and that'll keep it nice and warmer. And it'll keep it cooler.
If you want to sponsor this renovation, if you're sitting there listening to this,
they can sponsor Crow individually.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
this is an individual sponsorship.
If you are sitting here listening,
this has nothing to do with the Orange and True podcast.
No, the Orange and True podcast is sponsored by the Vox family of sponsors. If you're listening to this podcast, and you're like, you know what? I really enjoy what Son of Crow brings to the table. I was a big fan of We Got Jared. Maybe. And I own a construction company. I'll do this house for free.
I think
free.
We do have some listeners that are involved in construction.
Well, guys, come on down. I'll give you the address.
Maybe surplus materials they might have.
Guys, I'll put the dadgum sign on the roof while you're doing the construction work. I don't care. Be visible from the space station. Anyway, my what if, Chief and Ryan.
What if we don't digress so much?
No, it would be a different podcast. It would be the Orange and
True
podcast.
What if I kept up with show notes during the summer?
We had show notes. It's just... This is the show, a round robin of what ifs. What if? All right, Chief, think back. This is a two-part what if. Think back to 2000 and Saban, as it was called. Mm-hmm. And Auburn beats Alabama in the 2007 Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
And then Tom's Tuberville.
It's my last Iron Bowl.
Me too. Tommy Tuberville decides... to revamp the offense. Even though he had just won the Iron Bowl for his sixth straight, fewer the thumb, the other hand, as it was called, he decides to change things up a bit. Instead of going with a traditional Tubberville friendly offensive coordinator. Tubbs decides, I'm going to go with this out of the box.
T. Frank.
Tony Franklin. Guy wrote a book.
I think you're not giving Tubbs more credit. I think Tubbs saw where the game was going.
Well, here's what I've been told. And I have it on good authority. That Tubbs saw where the game was going, and Tubbs wanted one Gustav Malzahn. But it was told to Tubbs, nope, that he wasn't ready for prime time.
This is after Gus has been at Tulsa for a season.
No, he hadn't gone to Tulsa yet.
He was just there 2007 and 2008.
Okay. Well,
here's
but he had a reputation from Arkansas.
Right.
Here's
both Arkansas guys.
Here's the thing with that. I'm not sure Gus would have taken the job. Simply for the reason that Tony Franklin probably shouldn't have taken the job. Is he was not allowed to bring in any assistants. Because, do you know why? Because
Tubbs liked his guys.
No.
The barbecue bunch.
He did like them, but they were all 1 year away from being vested into
this pension?
RSA. And so he was willing to get rid of them the next year, but he didn't want to screw them all over this year. They'd all been his guys. They'd all been with him.
So this is for younger listeners' sake. This is Hunahl, Ensminger.
Hunahl, Don Dunn, Steve Ensminger, Greg Knox.
Ensminger, who was Phoenix City or Smith Station high school coach next season?
Yeah.
Hunahl, who is running a trucking company.
Steve Ensminger, who is the offense coordinator for the LSU Fighting Tigers.
Bayou Bengals.
So
one of those guys works at the barbecue.
Don Dunn, he's the pit master.
Yeah.
These guys got their state of Alabama pension and said, yeah, we're done with coaching.
Greg Knox is, of course, still in coaching.
However, there was always this tension of Franklin wanted to throw the dang ball.
Yeah.
And he wanted to spread everybody out. Throw.
Hunahl was very against. Hunahl formed a coalition against Tony Franklin.
As it was told to me, none of those guys were in favor of Tony Franklin spread from the get-go.
Hunahl was the main guy against it.
But you bring the Gus Malzahn spread. Now, the spread is basically just the power.
It's the running team we run in 2013, really. But
again, I don't think Gus comes simply because he did that same thing at Arkansas where he went in.
But what if he did? The question is, what if he did? What if he comes to Auburn? He is now the offensive coordinator for the 2008 Tigers.
Hearing is Cody Burns.
He is Cody Burns in the Gus Malzahn offense with Benjamin Franklin Tate.
Well, as his running. I don't know if you guys knew, but we did have Cody Burns in the Gus Malzahn offense.
And he was a wide receiver. Somewhere else.
So I don't think 8 turns out any differently.
Oh, I do.
I am of the opinion that we don't have a quarterback. Chris Todd's hurt.
Cody is Cody,
no matter who's the coach.
Right.
No offense to my man, Cody Burns.
And I believe Barrett Trotter's a freshman.
Barrett Trotter, maybe. No.
2008, he's a freshman because he graduated in 2010.
Guys,
he left.
Gus
he
would have found.
A year of eligibility left.
Gus would have taken.
Neil Cottle is the other guy.
Gus would have taken Robert Dunn and said, do you probably play a high school quarterback? Let's figure this out. The same way he once took a defensive back who'd been kicked off of the University of Georgia's football team and turned him into Ryan's favorite quarterback.
The best quarterback that everyone has.
I think you are overestimating Hunahl's willingness to accept Gus Malzahn.
I think Crow's statement here is dependent on all of those guys
coming back.
Gus, no. No, Gus gets to bring in his own guys.
No, I'm saying he has to work with the same guys that Tony Franklin had to work with.
I don't think Hunahl's working with him. I think Hunahl would have been against almost anyone they brought in. Hunahl was a poison on that team.
Wow, this is also casually libel.
No, it was not. This isn't libelous. Hunahl was a poison on that team.
All right, Chief, I got a question for you. More poisonous to their team, Hunahl or Trooper Taylor?
It's about the same. It's a little different. I think Troopers was a little more well meaning, to be honest with you. I think he cared about his guys, and he just
we'll stop there.
Yeah.
All right, so that's my what if. And it appears that my daughter's falling asleep, so that's good times.
Oh, all righty. That would have put her right to bed.
So, as the youngest...
I had a backup what if to that, which was the same what if, but with Gene. Instead of hiring Scott Leffler, because from what I was told, 2012 went off the rails.
It was off the field.
The minute Scott Leffler was hired, because the recruits began... And the team, I have friends who had gone to recruiting visits early in that summer and said that nobody on the team hosting them thought they were going to be any good because of this new offense. And that the coaches were talking about, oh yeah, we're going to be dropping back, 7-step drops, blah, blah, blah. And the guys in practice were like, this is not going to work.
He was friends with Tom Brady.
He knew Tom Brady once.
So I think there's a deeper... What if is if anything matters in either one of those years. And I personally think that both of those years were headed in a bad direction.
Most likely.
For reasons not just on the field.
When I get my 2012 podcast going, well...
especially 12. 12, the joke is Mark Richt has lost control of Georgia. Gene Chizik had lost complete and total control. And I think...
As sad as it is, I think... Some of the things that helped get Auburn to where they were in 2010 were also the downfall of 2012.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's right. And I
Auburn had never recruited the way
I
they
think
had.
That's a very interesting what if that maybe we can cover at some other point, is if the success of 2010 doesn't happen, if we don't win a national championship, but maybe we're kind of good,
yeah,
and then we're just mediocre in 11, maybe 12 doesn't happen because some of the players aren't in the same headspace as they were.
This is kind of like the what if Gus Malzahn's career gone in reverse? I love that one. Like, what if he comes in?
What if Mike Dyer doesn't? What if Mike Dyer's down and we don't win that game?
We're still winning that game if he's down.
Well, I know.
Can't convince me otherwise.
But what if Mike Dyer doesn't have himself in a situation where we play him even though he should be being disciplined?
Right.
So that's a long, deep thing that I think we really can talk about. And maybe you will cover it on an episode of your 2012
podcast. If we don't have Mike Dyer in 2011 is 2012.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the quarterback situation was the same
in
both years.
Okay. Your what if. Sorry.
Yeah. So as the youngest member of this podcast, I figure I should take it back. We've been talking about the late 2000s, early 2010s.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the early 80s.
4 years before I was born.
15 years before I'm born.
Well before I cared about Auburn sports.
Yeah, that's true.
The case could be made that I don't care about him now, but I do.
Pat Dye.
Yeah.
Is
the Patrick Fane Dye.
There you go. Is the head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys.
Yes, he is.
He has ties.
What is their record? What
I think they were 7-5 maybe that year. He has his ties in the Southeast, but he's not really an Auburn guy. He's a Georgia guy who worked for Bear.
Yep.
So he's the head coach at Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
Rumor has it, and I can't confirm this, but I've heard this story. I am the rumor monger.
Yeah. Well, this is an apocryphal story. Right. Let's not even call it a rumor. I think almost everyone listening to this podcast will probably have heard this at some point before.
The story is that Pat Dye never signed his contract.
In Wyoming?
With Wyoming. Meaning...
He Tony Barbied it, if you will.
When Auburn came knocking after the 1979 season, I believe?
Yeah. It was in 1980 that we signed him. So
when Auburn comes knocking, there's no buyout for Pat Dye at Wyoming. He is free to go if he wants to. And honestly, if you're the head coach at Wyoming and you're from the Southeast... And Auburn comes knocking, you're probably going to take that job. If Auburn had to pay a buyout, perhaps they move on to the next candidate. I don't know that.
I don't know
who the other candidates
were.
I don't either. It's safe to say they were not going to be as successful as Pat Dye.
Surely we would have loved to have for Mama to call Vince Dooley home.
Yeah, there's a possibility there. But I believe he's already the head coach of Georgia.
He is. They
And they win their title in 80.
Right. But, I'm sure he was already the head coach. How long had he been there? If he'd only been there a year, maybe he would have been reluctant to leave after only a year. But I'm certain that we would have liked to have had him here. As a matter of fact, I think maybe he was approached for that job, now that I think about it.
But I'm sure Georgia has a pretty big hefty buyout.
Well, the problem here is, Ryan, is I don't think there were really hefty buyouts back then.
When one person has a contract and the other doesn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. Buyouts definitely weren't what they are now.
Rumor has it, my friend Adele says.
I think it would also have been tougher to get a contract if he was under a contract.
Right, right, surely. Sure, so, there's way more hoops to jump through, whether it's a buyout or just having to make some sort of settlement with them.
So Pat Dye does not come to Auburn.
Okay.
Maybe you say Auburn still does, you know, become a power program.
It does. So I think Bobby Bowden was on the radar at the time.
Now that's an interesting hire.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did he? Well, you know, he's a Bear guy.
I know.
He played for the Bear.
But throughout the 70s, Auburn is Cal College.
Yeah. But no, I think
Auburn's Texas Tech.
I think Bobby was on the radar. I think that's I think Jack or someone in our chat mentioned this when you brought it up in that. I do believe Bobby Bowden was on the radar. Maybe we signed him.
Then maybe Deion Sanders.
He's from the state of Alabama. And I could have seen him taking it. I mean, FSU ain't.
They were nothing at that point.
So he built FSU.
Right,
yeah. So he could have left. Yeah.
And he hadn't even built them yet.
Right.
1980?
I think it's just an interesting storyline to explore if Pat Dye is not the head coach of Auburn. And
yeah, no, it is.
Where is he the head coach? That's the next question.
So does he ever end up here?
Pat Dye?
If we don't, I think the question you ask is, what happens if we don't hire Pat Dye?
Right. Surely he's not staying at Wyoming for very long.
Right. And I don't think even what happens to Pat Dye is interesting. It's what happens to Auburn.
Right.
Because who's...
There's so many... I mean,
I guess Auburn
today is built on what we were in the 80s, like it or not. I mean, that's kind of where modern Auburn begins.
No, Pat Dye brought what
Auburn
Bear
to
Bryant
the national stage.
Did at Alabama to Auburn.
Right.
And...
He brought total control...
Total control
to the football coach.
Maybe a little, you know, a little keeping it down home, here and there, and everywhere. but if he doesn't come here and do that, I mean, we're probably not sitting here having this podcast right now.
Is Bo Jackson not at all?
That's possible. Pat.
Bo Jackson is a professional cyclist at that point.
Very real. He could be a professional.
Bo could have come here to play baseball for Pal Mummy. Yeah. But yeah, that we, you know, you have to assume we don't.
Maybe
you have to assume we don't have Bo Jackson as a football player.
Maybe Frank Thomas is not allowed to stay on as a scholarship athlete.
Yeah.
Whenever he gets hurt as a football player.
Right.
And does not stay at Auburn as a baseball player.
Right.
The fact that Frank Thomas is the only Hall of Famer from the SEC is one of the wildest stats.
Because a couple of the others are juicing pretty hard.
Right. Fly just flew right past the mic.
He was on the mic.
Fourth host. That beetle, it's not a roach. It's a beetle.
I thought it was a beetle.
Yeah, it came from outside. It's gone.
Hey, look, if we want to talk baseball, I'm hoping Tim Hudson is the next SEC Hall of Famer.
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
I'd love
he's
to have two first before ballot. Mississippi State has
I don't think he ever had a Cy Young or anything.
He was never
the best pitcher in the league. He was always one of the best, but for 15 years.
Did he not have one with the A's?
I don't believe
he made Moneyball work.
Yeah.
Not mentioned in the movie Moneyball, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think he is.
It's funny because
there is a bald pitcher on the A's in Moneyball.
But that movie presupposes that somehow that was the Moneyball that made them win games. Not the fact that they had two pitchers who were just lights out that year.
Let's see.
Lights out. That year.
And
I believe you.
They had Star-Lord at first base.
Right, they had Star-Lord at first base.
He was at least in top 10 in Cy Young voting.
Chubby Star-Lord before he lost a bunch of weight and became a superhero.
He stopped drinking beer.
Did Tim
for a month?
Wow, I almost asked if Tim Jackson ever won a Cy Young.
Oh, Auburn player wrangler Tim Jackson.
Yeah, that's what you want to call him.
Sure.
Did Tim Hudson ever win a Cy Young?
Were you allowed to bring Siri? Yes, Siri.
Here's what I found. The first result is from Wikipedia.
Google.
Sounds like Siri.
Sir, Google.
Is that not... What is the one from Halo.
Cortana.
That's the Microsoft one.
Yeah, Cortana.
Yeah. If you'd wanted, this is surely would have said yes. Yeah. Anyway. Tim Hudson was in the top 10 for Cy Young voting for the American League several times.
He is my all-time favorite MLB player.
He is why my wife actually sort of likes the Braves. So she was a big A's fan while he was playing for the A's.
Chief, A's. We've got one more what if.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got for us?
Speed it on here. What was it, JetGate? Didn't I tease that earlier?
Yes,
you did.
So what if JetGate is successful and Tubbs gets canned after 2002, so after 5 years. So you split his tenure in half. We don't have his 04 team. We still have all those players, though. With
Bobby Petrino with the 04 team.
Bobby Petrino coaching. So, you know.
Maybe.
It could be anything.
Maybe we score a lot more points.
Because he might have. I think he turned it down.
No, he did not.
Oh.
He did not turn it down, my friend.
Let's take
Tubbs won the Iron Bowl and people found out what had happened and
this is Les Miles from like 3 years ago, right? Where he was going to be fired one last game of the season, got carried off the field by his players.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Explain JetGate and all the little details for people that don't know the details.
So Tubbs comes here from Ole Miss in 1999. We had been real bad in 1998. We won two games. It was the worst season that I have watched as an Auburn fan. Even the
2013? 2012, I mean?
We won three games in 12, my friend.
We didn't win any conference games in 12.
We won two. And I don't even think either one of those were conference games. And
12 was twelve was the only year we've never won a conference game.
Maybe we won one. Our coach wasn't fired. He just left three games in.
I believe. Without telling the team.
Yes, brother Bill Oliver, our pretty good defensive coordinator from that time, coached our team. It was a nightmare.
Who was the coach?
Bill Oliver.
He just left?
No.
Terry Bowden was the coach.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Tiny Terry. There's some salacious
I love the rumors. Idea.
You want some salacious
rumors? Oh, I know. I've heard those.
Okay.
But I love the idea that there weren't any rumors. He just got tired of it and just like drove away one day and was like, you know what? I'd rather just cut.
I think he kind of was just tired of everything that was happening.
For the record, Auburn is 3-8 in 1998 with wins over Columbus, Louisiana Tech. UCF Knights.
Okay, so we did win one. We won three.
Future national champs.
You Central Florida.
They probably won it that year.
Oh, did I send you guys the picture of the we went and ate at this hole-in-the-wall seafood shack place in Fort Walton. They had a Central Florida national champions.
Oh, my wife's grandparents live in Orlando, and there was a flag across the street from their house.
Almost asked
national
for
national champs.
I don't understand the Auburn people get so worked up.
I'm not worked up. I love it.
I love it too. Why would you not love it?
They're getting into the skin of Bama fans everywhere.
I know why Will Dr. McLaughlin doesn't
like
it.
He's a South Florida guy.
Yeah, he has a vested interest not to be a fan.
Didn't he go to UCF?
USF.
USF.
Oh, okay. I thought he went to UCF.
Back to JetGate.
99, Tubbs comes in. I mean, we basically don't have a running back on the roster when he comes in. It's pretty nightmarish. Heath Evans, a fullback at best.
And future concussion Saints. Truther.
That's right.
Cassinius Moore, is that who the running back is?
Cassinius Moore, who I proclaimed to my, fall of 99. So, yeah, I am a sophomore in high school. My sophomore in high school history teacher, huge Bama fan. Big shock, I know, in Northeast Alabama.
Wow.
Making fun of us. And I was like, we got Cassinius Moore? I was super pumped. Not good. So, we do okay. We win five games that year, I believe.
I'll check for you, Chief.
The next year we bring in JUCO transfer
Rudy,
which always sounded like everyone was booing at the games.
Well, we won 5-6.
5-6. So I knew we won five games.
Look
at the old noggin.
99. Sorry.
Why did everybody just chant Rudy?
I know.
Like the movie.
It's weird. I don't know.
They didn't want it to be offsides.
I guess so. So we do better that year. We win 9 games.
In 2000?
8 games.
In 2000?
Yes.
Auburn.
Oh, no, 10. The SEC 10. West. That's right. 10.
9-4.
But we lost the one game I went to. No.
Tennessee. We lost the SEC.
I think I went to 3 games Florida. That year. Florida. We lost my first ever away game, which is at Mississippi State that year.
Kalinga.
Let me ask this question. Could you drink the water at Starkville?
I didn't. And
I'm not sure you could. I think a couple of years ago you could just start drinking the water and start from Mississippi.
Let me tell you how many. Sick. Can you take a guess on how many times they played Who Let the Dogs Out in the year 2000 at that game?
Oh, man. At least 20.
It was my living nightmare.
Did she have dumps like a truck? Truck at that game, too? Dice like what? What?
I don't remember. I don't remember if they played that. They played Who Let the Dogs Out at every opportunity.
Anyways, Auburn wins the West.
Wins the West. Dogs out. Wins the West. Big turnaround for Auburn with 10 games. They probably
still play that song at Mississippi State.
I don't think they did the last time I was there.
Ryan?
But then 2001, we don't have Rudy because he leaves, and we're sort of in the same spot again. Can't remember how many games we won that year. It was not as good a year.
7-5.
Yeah. 2002... We finally let Jason Campbell be the starting quarterback for.
Hey, and who was the offensive coordinator that year?
Bobby P. Yeah, Bobby P. Our offense is better than ever.
Gene Chizik on the defense.
It's good times. We still have Daniel Cobb to worry about. He did play in several games, that year, I believe. Then the next year we start out 2000. It's 2003. 2002, we beat Bama. That's my freshman year. I go to the game in Tuscaloosa. We beat Bama. We won 9 games.
8-5.
8-5, okay. Is that including the bowl?
It's 8-5, that's what I guess.
Jeez, okay. It wasn't a great year, but we beat Bama, so who cares? That was a good Bama team. That was a 10-win.
Sorry, that was 2003. Is that what you're asking for?
I was asking for 2002.
Yeah, 2002, 9-4.
Okay,
9-1. And the next year we're on the cover, ESP the magazine. Everybody
number one, Auburn.
Yeah, we weren't projected. Everyone remembers us being projected to be number one. We did not start this season ranked number one. We were in the top five.
Well, we were playing USC week one.
But we were playing USC week one. Essentially the winner of that game
was number one.
We had played them the year before. Did you know that, Ryan?
Yeah.
No.
We played the year before.
That, but I was not aware
and
at the time.
And so USC was nothing. Like, for years, they had been just down.
This is the first football game, or first Auburn game in my consciousness.
So the year before, we go out there and play them. The
game I ever went to was the 03 SC game.
Pete Carroll's first game as their coach, maybe we play them out there in 02. It didn't go great. It was an away game. I remember watching it on TV.
How many points did we score?
Lost a hat that night. Oh, no, a nice orange hat. Then we get to 2003. What did you say?
So how many points did we score in the 2003 game?
Oh, none. We went three. We've discussed this before. We went 3 games without scoring, which is probably important
to this JK quarters, stories. Right?
9 quarters without scoring a touchdown.
After practicing the touchdown Auburn.
We lost to USC to open. We lost to Georgia Tech.
And they tore down the goalposts.
And then we finally beat Vandy for our
Brandon Jacobs killed a man against Vanderbilt in that game.
Brandon Jacobs, remember we had Brandon Jacobs, Ronnie Brown, and Carnell Williams, three
NFL
starting NFL quarterbacks.
Running backs.
Only one of them won a Super Bowl, and it was the guy that left because he couldn't get in.
He killed a man at Vanderbilt.
He did.
Ryan, he was the wedge buster on kickoff. And there is a grainy YouTube video of this, him coming down on kickoff team, not kickoff return, kickoff team, and killing some child. Like, this guy runs back, sets the wedge, turns around, and Brandon Jacobs puts his face into this guy's face. And that guy doesn't see anymore, I don't think. It was the hardest hit I've ever watched on television. It's twice as hard as the Reggie Brown hit.
Oh, yeah.
That Junior Rosegreen tried to kill Reggie Brown the next year. That was a hit that made watching TV go, this sport shouldn't have kickoff.
So
that was the moment I thought that.
So to cut this a little shorter than it was going there, it was another mediocre year.
Right.
We had won, 5 games? 10 games? 8 games?
Auburn's on a downward trend.
It was 5, this 10. Right, okay, it was 5, 10, 9, 8. right? So 5 years in, we're averaging 8.5 games a year. Sure. 8.5 wins a year. We had won the West once.
Sounds about like Gus, just 8 wins a year.
We lost to Florida in Atlanta when we would win the West.
Sorry, my bunker came out there for a second.
It's fine. So we're in a similar place to where we are now, but without making it to a title game and winning an SEC championship. So
if you just took 2013 off the front.
Yeah, which kind of tells you why some people may be getting antsy now.
Gus can only win with Gus's recruits from 2013.
There wasn't that because, I mean, the team that we had was
recruiting too well.
Yeah. Terry was not recruiting well. The team we had was the team that Tommy built.
Tommy could recruit defensive line.
Oh, well, and offensive. But they would be 2 and 3 stars and just be awesome by the time you got done.
My goodness, we had some friends.
So 2013, we beat Alabama to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
What's the storyline going around?
03, you mean.
2003, right.
So during...
Before that game.
During the game, we have boosters on a plane to Louisville?
Louisville.
Where Bobby Petrino, who had been our offense coordinator in our most successful year of this...
2002.
Which is not our most successful year of this.
01.
01 was our most successful. But I think numbers-wise, offensively, it was the most coherent we've been on offense.
It was the lead-up to being highly ranked 2003.
Right.
Right. And there's argument to be made if Bobby had still been here, we may have done better.
We probably wouldn't. We probably would have scored more than 0 points.
Right. So we have several of our boosters and the president of the university go meet with Bobby Petrino.
And the athletic director.
And they go and they meet with Bobby Petrino and arrange for him to become our next football coach. With the expectation, I guess, that we were going to lose that Iron Bowl. Because I believe this was another one of the good teams that they claimed they didn't have during the run where we beat them 5 times. I can't remember.
Beat them 6 times.
Alabama finishes 2003. No, they're bad. They're
okay,
4-9.
Okay.
It's a bad Bama.
Well, I don't know.
It was not on TV, if I remember. Or it was, but it was like not a big deal. I remember watching games as a kid being like,
I wasn't at 3. 3 was here.
I was coming to Auburn.
I was outside. It's one of the ones
the next year, and I remember watching that game. No, I was at that game. That was Go Crazy Cadillac.
Yeah.
03 Iron Bowl. Yeah, I was at that game.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
The 03 Iron Bowl, I'm at the game.
And with your brother.
With my brother, and that's when I decided to come to Auburn.
Okay.
This seems like...
We didn't just beat them. We just destroyed them.
This is one of those moments that, like, if you could pick up modern social media and just drop it on a week.
Oh, man.
If you drop that on Auburn...
This is Honk if you sack Brody, correct?
No, that's
05.
That's 05. But if you could drop social media in Auburn around Jetgate, around Go Crazy Cadillac...
Go Crazy Cadillac.
I just remember the thing that broke me that year, we lost to Ole Miss.
Yes.
And it was in just awful... Like, you think some of these losses that you've watched us lose with Gus, they've just infuriated you, have just been baffling.
Eli Manning Ole Miss.
Yes. This is good Ole Miss, though, at least.
This is number 13.
This was Ben Obamanu dropping a pass in the back of the end zone.
I was sickened.
Wide open. Ryan, wide open.
One of the only games I had a ticket to that year because of
the day he was
born. Tickets as a freshman.
Ball hit him in the chest, and he just dropped
it. Sickening. One of our best wide receivers ever. I mean, just drops the ball there. There was reason for people to be upset.
So what's the
what if
here?
So the what if is, what if no one finds out about that meeting? We fire Tubbs anyway. See, the thing that happened was people found out about this meeting. Tubbs had beaten Alabama for the second time in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And to finish with 8 wins.
Is this
a plane tracker kind of event? Like,
I can't, remember exactly how people found out about it.
The beginning of plane tracker.
And you may be right. It may have happened the day before, but people finding out about it.
Because there's no instant Twitter.
It's probably some, to be honest with you, it was probably some AL.com or Birmingham News reporter.
Were there any boosters against Bobby Petrino?
Probably
on the boards, man.
It was definitely on the bunker. What if they don't find out about it and we hire Bobby Petrino is basically it.
So Bobby Petrino is the coach of your Auburn Tigers in 2004.
And Tubbs has basically no legacy at Auburn. So we don't have Tommy that we all like.
Well, one thing I can tell you for sure.
United States Senator Tommy
Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville's not running for Senate in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure not. He probably ends up the head coach at Arkansas at some point.
Bobby Petrino doesn't go to Arkansas.
He might go back to Ole Miss.
Petrino comes here. We probably win a national title in 2004. I believe
we get to the number two spot over Oklahoma.
Yeah. I think we score a lot more points. I think we have a lot more data in that computer that helps us out.
Except I think that there's a run on. I think a bunch of dudes leave early.
I don't think so.
Like I think Cadillac goes to the pros.
They all played under him the year before.
Yeah, but they just let our coach.
Then again, they did know Bobby. Maybe they leave.
That's true.
They saw their coach get fired in the most just BS way. They probably all have a sour taste in their mouth to Auburn and leave.
Yeah, but their offense coordinator got canned at the end of that year too.
Let's play this out. What does Auburn become in the next 5 years,
Bobby? I guess we need to.
Bobby Petrino hire Gus Malzahn at Auburn?
No.
No. I think.
Because he's got Bobby calling the plays.
Well, I think we have to settle on does he win a national championship?
Bobby didn't hire him at Arkansas.
We gotta settle on.
Yeah, okay. Bobby wins a national championship, so he has a little juice. How long is he at Auburn? Bobby's a rolling stone, baby.
He's hired by the Falcons within minutes.
Probably
06. He's at the Falcons.
When was he at the Falcons?
Right. Before
number one Bobby Petrino fan Ryan Stewart.
No
more Falcons fan. Well,
before Mike Smith,
guys.
It's 2000.
Oh, we probably should take one more break.
It's the 2008
before we close out.
We got a couple minutes left,
guys. We'll close out with a break, and Jack just have an ad put it at the back end of this bad boy.
Yeah,
I guess we need to wrap up where we end up.
I don't think he's at Auburn more than 5 years. And I don't know. I don't think Bobby Petrino can hold together winning that long to have sustained success.
So what I'm hearing is 2008 is a disaster.
Probably.
And Auburn goes and gets a former defensive coordinator by the name of Gene Chizik. Yeah,
maybe.
Probably. Probably in the exact same
place. And we are in the exact same place.
And that brings us to what we came here to talk about, which is Tour de France starts on Saturday. Most people think you got Garen Thomas is going to win this bad boy. It's probably a good pick. But here's a name you're not hearing, and I think the smart money would go on this guy. Richie Porte has never finished a Tour de France healthy and on his bicycle all the way through at this level. And if he does, if he doesn't crash out like he's wont to do, then he's my pick, my sleeper pick to win. I think Team Ineos has too many guys. This is double. We'll keep this going. I also think you're looking at Rigoberto Urán from Colombia or TJ Van Garderen, both from Team EF Dimension, EF Cannondale. They're also my sleeper picks for winning this bad boy. But we'll have more updates as that bad boy goes for 21 days in July. Tour de France with Crow.
Crow, what are we doing next week? We stay in the program?
Sure. Next week, we'll do Stay in the Program
with Ryan
and Chief.
Are we recording during the Home Run Derby and Ronald Acuña
and here's that dang thing? The Home Run Derby? What is it, 1998? And I care about that because Keir Jr.'s in it?
Yeah, Acuña's going to win. I'm watching Derby next weekend.
Adios. Okay.